Difference is very good, isn't it? Can I share with you guys something real fast? We talked about, as we were planning this a little bit, we talked about, well, but now we have Tina and Vivian who are on the praise and worship team, so maybe they should just not do children's church today, but we should keep them in here with us. And you know what? Absolutely not. You know, absolutely not. I mean, our kids are so very important. You know, we have such a ministry requirement for our children that we want to meet at this church as well. And I got to tell you that idea just went right out the door. You know, we were like, that is their ministry, and we are so happy to see just kids flood that room over there. So you know, every Sunday I talk to you guys, and there's always like a key word that I try to emphasize, and that word is application. You know, I want you to leave here and have an idea for how the Word of God is going to affect you. I want you to consider and challenge yourself with, how is this going to change me? How am I going to apply this today? All right. And if you don't leave here with any of those questions answered, then quite honestly, we didn't do a very good job at church. Okay? Because it needs to change us. We need to have application in our lives of God's Word. And those are very important things to consider. But there is one potential drawback that can occur. One thing that can happen when our focus is on application all the time, and that's this. If we're not careful, this whole thing can become about you. This whole thing can become about me. And that's just not the way that it's supposed to be. All right, so let me start off this morning by saying something that is not going to sit very well in the me world that we live in. Okay, and that's this. It is not all about you. It really isn't. Sorry to hurt your feelings, but it's not all about you. In fact, the study we're going to look at this morning is hardly about you at all. I told you last week that this church, as a group of believers, that we're going to start this process of this heading this trip to the place called revival. And last week we talked about the need for revival. We discussed that our lives were in crisis right now. Okay, and guess what? The truth that was last week is still the truth this week. Okay, your life is still in a crisis right now. You're in the midst of a crisis, whether or not you know it or not, right now. And you're there because we serve a holy God. We serve a holy God, and apart from Him, we are not. We are not. And when we understand that, when we understand where we are and where He is, that puts us into a place of crisis. Would you agree this morning that we serve a holy God? That's a silly question, isn't it? Of course we serve a holy God. Okay, well, here's a better question for you. What does that mean? What does it mean to say that God is holy? What is that saying? You know, as early as Genesis 2:3, we begin to see God describe things as holy. He says in 2:3, "And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Speaking to Moses in Exodus 3:5, God says, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Speaking to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, Moses said, "Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." In Leviticus 10:10, God commanded His people, "You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean." So what does it mean to be holy? I've just said that word 50 times. Who here today still has no idea what it means to be holy? Well, the Hebrew of the word, okay, the Hebrew meaning of the word speaks very clearly about separation. It speaks very clearly about being separate, being set apart. So to be holy means that you are separate, that you are set apart. So then if we acknowledge that our God is holy, which I got everybody to acknowledge that, then we must also acknowledge that He is separate, that He is set apart. And the obvious question is, from what? What is my God separate from? This is an easy question. Everything. Everything. We are the creation. This world, this universe, the solar system, all of this is the creation. He is the creator. He is separate from everything. And we should never lose sight of that, because when we lose sight of that, we begin to tie God down to things. But you know, God is not bound by any of His creation. He is not limited by anyone or anything. He is holy. He is holy. He is separate. Set apart. Do you remember the story of Moses in the burning bush? Do you remember when Moses asked God who he was? He said, when the people ask me who sent me, who should I say? And God responded with his own words. God said, I am who I am. God didn't say, well, I used to be. You know, he didn't say, I'm really trying hard to be. He didn't say, one day, I'm really hoping I might be. No, he didn't say that. God said, I am who I am. God has always been and will always be. There's nothing in all of creation that can make that claim. Only the Creator. He has always been, will always be. It's all about Him. It's all about God because He is holy. And He is separate. But you might be wondering this morning. I started off saying we're taking a trip to revival, right? Well, Tim, you know, we're all talking about where we're going to go, but this message ain't about me at all. So what does a message about who God is, and more specifically about His holiness, what does that message have to do with getting to revival? Well, let me ask you something, okay? Just think about this in your own mind. What if today you went home from here and you checked your messages on your answering machine, and the person that you look up to the most, the person you admire the most in this entire world, okay? And you guys take a moment, think about who that is. What if that person called and said, hey, Alta, I was just wondering if tonight you might want to get together for dinner. Whoa, really? You know, what if that person called and said, hey, Marvin, hey, tomorrow at lunch, can we meet up? Spend some few minutes together? I mean, crazy, right? Why would that possibly happen? For most of us, that person probably doesn't even know who you are. Okay? Much less are they looking to spend a whole lot of time with you. But even if that person did call, even if you went home today and there's that message on the answering machine, and that person did call, even if that happened, guess what? It would be inconsequential when you compare it to the fact that the Creator of all things, the Sovereign of the entire universe, wants to spend time with you. He is making that call every day. He's got you on redial over and over and over. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? There is no one in this world who even comes in a close second. God wants you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have lunch with you, dinner with you. He just wants you. But you know, I don't think we get it though. We don't really understand that because we don't really understand who He is. We don't have a really good grasp of how holy our God is. We don't get that, and because we don't understand it, we miss the opportunity. We miss realizing the full opportunity of what He's doing every single day. I mean, who here would pass up having... Gosh, it's such different views in here. Billy Graham, let's just say that's safe on a Sunday morning, right? Okay, who here would pass up the idea of having Billy Graham over for lunch? I would love it. Okay, it depends on what's for lunch. But I would love it, all right? But when compared to the fact that God wants to have lunch with me, that is such a distant second. But we don't treat it that way, do we? Because we don't really know who's calling. We don't really know who's calling us. We don't understand how holy He is. You know, a relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. It's like hitting a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth inning of the World Series. It's like catching the winning touchdown, okay, of the Super Bowl. It's like picking the right numbers for Lotto. It's like picking the Powerball. It's like, bingo! You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all of that and infinitely more. But we don't get it. We don't get it because we just don't understand how holy He is. You know, I got to be honest with you. Honestly, even standing here today, after almost a week of preparation, I can honestly tell you, I don't understand how holy He really is. All I can do is go to the Word. That's all I can do. I can go to the Word and I can try to catch a glimpse, just a glimpse of how holy He really is. And this morning, we're going to do that. Okay, this morning, I told you guys we're taking a trip, right? Okay, anybody here like to take pictures? Well, you've got the best photo opportunity of your lifetime coming up this morning. Okay, because we're taking a trip this morning into a place okay, that very few people have ever even seen. Okay? We're taking a trip this morning in the Word. We're taking a trip to God's throne room. To the throne room of God this morning, where the Creator sits. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready, because this is going to be an awesome trip this morning. Okay? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. We may or may not have it on the... Okay, I guess we do. All right? It's going to be up on the screen as well. But turn in your Bibles there, because you're going to need to make some notes, because this is awesome stuff this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. But here we go. As the pages turn, though, all right, and as we approach the throne room of God, I wonder if this morning, okay, or when you do that one day, I wonder if what you hear will be something like this.